Welcome to the South Coast Botanic Garden update. Ah, August in the garden, a perfect time to picnic on the lawn in the shade. Go to southcoastbotanicgarden.org to make your reservations, and remember that the Soar Butterfly exhibit is still around for a few more weeks. If you're not yet fully vaccinated, the CDC recommends you wear your mask while in public. As you head into the garden and pick your destination to start your walk, it is really great to start by going around Palm Circle and head down the promenade toward the Bohannon Rose Garden. The promenade generally has at least a bit of shade and lets you acclimate to the temperature slowly. Even though it's a bit late in the rose season, the formal rose garden is a riot of color. The lovely blooms of the Love and Peace hybrid tea rose has hot pink outer petals and the buttery yellow center with a whole bed of these flowers. It makes a very pretty picture. Also, see the climbing rose above all, a rose with dense foliage to cover the wall it grows on, and a very hot orange flower in clusters of four or five. Then there's Gemini. This flower is very similar to Love and Peace, but the colors are softer and the buds a bit smaller. If you leave the Rose Garden and head across Tram Road to the Lower Meadow, you'll notice the lovely palest pink hibiscus just next to the gazebo. It's covered with blooms and makes a charming backdrop for pictures. Walking around the end of the Lower Meadow to the cactus collection takes you past the Madagascar palms. They've been blooming for weeks now and are still blooming. This plant is another that is not a true palm, but is a succulent. It can be grown indoors as well as out. Indoors, it will not get as tall as outdoors, where it can get up to 24 feet tall and be a fairly drought-tolerant when established. Another plant to see just across the walkway that grows throughout the garden and is blooming right now are the sea squills. This is a Mediterranean plant and throws up a flower spike after the leaves die down in late summer. One interesting thing about the sea squill is that it's a very large bulb and divides into two. It will build up into a very large clump if you just leave them be. Unlike many other bulbs, it will not be eaten by gophers. Just across the way in the prickly pear corner of the aloe and agave collection, you can see a few late season blooms on the prickly pears. But more interestingly, if you look closely, something that I haven't noticed before now are the critter tunnels in the roots of these plants. I've seen squirrels zip in and disappear underground in a second when they are frightened. And the very prickly nature of these plants offers a safe haven to critters that might otherwise be threatened by a predator. Following the path into the aloe collection, and you'll see the hairy green aloe is blooming. A plant whose homeland is Yemen, this plant is unusual in the aloe family because it really has hairy, green to whitish flowers. It is very drought tolerant and makes a wonderful accent plant in a water-wise garden. Whether it's in the ground or in a pot, it can live longer than 40 years if you treat it well. If you take the short walkway down to Tram Road and walk under the spike cabbage tree, which is also blooming, in its native habitat, which is tropical Africa, it is a favorite food for elephants. Taking a walk around Tram Road to Alpine Lane and then down Alpine Lane, there's a very small path off to the right by the Aleppo pine that you can walk and see the wonderful pineapple lily that's blooming there. One look at the blooming spike with its demure whitish flowers and tuft of leaves on the top, and you can see why it's called pineapple lily. This plant is neither a pineapple or a lily, but it's a member of the asparagus family. We hope you enjoy your visit to the garden. Check back with us to get current updates.